is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle joining us now, our CSU Rams insider from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Kevin, well, you had a press conference today. It almost made you late for this, and I would just hope that as a friend you would stand up in the middle of any press conference and just say, "Hey, I gotta go, guys. I gotta go. I gotta be on the whole show." I would just hope that you would do that for us. Can we count on you next time around for that?
I was preparing for a dramatic, like a mic drop exit, be like, "It's enough. Time for Brady."
I would gladly. Oh man, please, someone make that happen somehow. All right, so you get a chance to, obviously you've talked to Coach Norvell a bit before, but you get the coordinators there too. Freddie Banks, the new defensive coordinator, Matt Mummy, the offensive coordinator. Can give us kind of the gist. What was this press conference about, and what did you take away from it?
Yeah, it was, really appreciate CSU setting this up, kind of a good opportunity, I don't want to say meet and greet, but that type of thing, get to know these guys a little bit. Obviously we've talked to Coach Norvell a few times, so good to catch up with him again. But yeah, Matt Mummy, we've talked before, he's one of the cool new social media guys on the CSU football staff. Obviously he's not hired just because he has a cool looking Twitter account. So we talked air raid offense. He is, literally the son of the air raid. His dad, Hal, basically created it. He said, Matt was a quarterback. He played quarterback at Kentucky. He says, "I've been running the air raid offense since I was in fourth grade." So, pretty ingrained in his system. So really fun to hear him talk about the concepts and the systems and everything that we'll see on game day, come September. A lot of things fans are excited about. They're going to throw the ball around. They're going to, at least eventually, I think, play with some tempo. They have a great history of developing quarterbacks, and Matt Mummy is a huge, huge role in that. So even though Jay Norvell might call the plays, Matt Mummy is a vital part of that system and seems like a really engaging, thoughtful guy. And then, Freddie Banks is the one that, we knew Mummy would come with Norvell. But the defense coordinator was kind of the huge other question. And Freddie Banks, the guy, he's a young coach. He's only had 1 year as defensive coordinator. He was Montana State's defensive coordinator this year and helped lead them to the FCS title game. But he worked with Norvell previously as a defensive backs coach. And he seems like really energetic, smart guy. Excited to see what he's going to do. Obviously, in some ways, he has the toughest task in the rebuild of this roster, because the defense, wasn't very good, and it's going to be a pretty different system, especially combining it with, an offense that in theory should score a lot of points. So it's going to be a huge role. Obviously, the kind of Bobo teams, could score, but couldn't always defend as well as they needed to. And so Banks has a lot of, important pressure on him, but seemed like I said, a really engaging guy that I'm excited to see what he does, and I think players probably will respond to him really well.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting question for me, Kevin. Is you're right. Twitter, we've been seeing it. Matt Mummy. I mean, I'm all in. By the way, I love it. It's entertaining. It's great. But we've seen it. Hey, air raid. We're going to be throwing the ball around. That's what we do. We want big receivers. Coach Norvell literally wrote the book on wide receivers. Yep. So we know. At least advertising wise, we know this is should be a high flying offense. But the fear, I think, and at least in the back of my head, is okay, is that what you just said? Is it going to be kind of a Bobo type offense where it's like all the attention goes to the offense, but where's the defense? So you're right, Freddie Banks has a lot, and then on his plate. And then you look at signing day last time around; there was a lot of offensive players there.
Yep, it was basically all offense. Yeah, I think it was, what, maybe 19 offense and 3 defense, I don't have it in front of me, but that sounds about right. And that was somewhat intentional. Well, not somewhat, it was completely intentional. At that time, they hadn't hired the defensive coordinator, and Jay Norvell didn't want to sign guys to a system that, they didn't know exactly what it was going to be. Obviously, he has a, general defensive philosophies he wanted to follow, but, it made sense. Why would you be signing defensive players when they don't even know exactly who their coordinator will be or what system they'll play. So kind of wanted to wait, and Freddie Banks now comes in. He's hired He had two of his staffers, so Freddie will kind of coach secondary as well. That's his background. He's bringing a coach in from Montana State that'll coach linebackers, and actually North Dakota State, who beat Banks and Montana State in the title game. He's bringing a defensive line coach from there. So they have their staff mostly assembled, and so they don't have as many slots left, but this second signing day will pretty much be all defensive players as they try and refill that. But it is going to take some time. You know, basically both sides of the ball needed to be rebuilt because of, you know, A, lack of success, and B, change of system. And you just can't do that in one off season. I mean, it's just impossible. So, one side, one way or another, would be probably a little shorthanded. And so the defense is probably going to be the one that takes a little bit more time to do. But like I say, that's kind of to be expected.
Yeah, and there's so much, as a new coach coming in, there's so many different things that you want to address. You know, you want your quarterback situation figured out. Okay, who's he going to throw to? Who's protecting him? And then you got to go to the defense. That's why I think college football coaches and just the recruiting process is so fascinating, because you're constantly, I mean, essentially you're constantly filling holes. You're constantly plugging holes as you're trying to grow your program. And with the transfer portal, you can see the benefits, as Jay Norvell has certainly seen, bringing Nevada players over left and right. But there's no doubt that coaches are constantly looking over their shoulders, too. So a lot of challenges out there. I'll be curious to see what they do this next round with the scholarships available, Kevin, because when we had Coach Norvell on, we did talk defense a little bit. And from his opening press conference, I'm a big cornerback guy. I love cornerback play. And when he was talking about, hey, we want guys that are going to be physical, that are going to be bumping these receivers, so there's not a lot of room. So I'll be curious to see if there's some defensive backs, some big-time defensive backs on this next go-around for signing.
Yep, I think DBs is definitely going to be a point of focus. I mean, I believe they already have a TCU transfer who said he's coming, and that's going to be a thing. Freddie Banks even talked about that a bit, too, he says, at the high school level, we're not really recruiting guys who have played a ton of cornerback in high school, because for the most part, you look at most high school teams, you take your best athlete, and what do? You give them the ball. You make them the quarterback, the receiver, find ways to have them the ball. They may play both ways, but their main thing is offense, because, you need your best athletes with the ball. Says, so we're going to recruit guys that maybe, in high school are thought of as receivers, but they have that skill set that works as a defensive back, and we'll teach them that and develop them that way. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to follow. Maybe there's some guys on the roster that they would consider a position change. I don't know that. They didn't say that. But just kind of hearing what you said, it's kind of fascinating. They're saying, no, we're looking for kind of a body, physicality, skill set, not necessarily – this kid had 13 interceptions in high school, so he's a good cornerback.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fascinating to see. It's really fun, too, because I do feel like Coach Norvell, especially his coordinators, are really open. As you mentioned, Twitter, we kind of get to – I mean, you're doing it anyway, Kevin, because you're in the thick of it every single day. But for the fans, they kind of get to follow along with the coaches, because they're constantly tweeting out who they're signing, who they're looking at, that kind of thing. So it's – I think that's a way interesting aspect that we haven't really seen. Obviously, Adazio, none of his guys did any of that stuff. And then, when you go back to Bobo, I don't know that that was really the case. And Twitter wasn't really rocking and rolling as much as it was in the McElwain days. So this is pretty fun, I got to admit.
Yeah, and I think early signs are that the staff will be fairly open as far as, whether it's interviews or whatever, at least being able to hear their voice every now and then. Which I think is cool. I mean, every coach has a different philosophy. Steve Adazio wanted his voice to be kind of the only one speaking for the program. Bobo had kind of flipped back and forth. There are times that coordinators would be available, but a lot of times, especially late in his tenure, I think as he was kind of battening the hatchets down, as he felt the pressure, he wanted to be, that one voice. But yeah, I think it's cool for fans, because you hear different philosophies, and you can kind of hear straight from the horse's mouth what a coach is thinking, rather than, the head coach spokesperson. So I hope that continues, and based on what we've seen, I think it will. But yeah, and I think, like I say, kind of early signs. Obviously, everything sounds good in off-season press conferences. Everyone's plan sounds amazing and looks amazing. So, proof will be in the pudding. But I'm excited to see these guys, and I think fans will really receive them well, when they're, booster events and things like that. I think people really enjoy talking to these guys.
You and I have talked about it a lot. We'll probably talk about it more today on our Hoops tip-off program coming up at 5 o'clock. But, you know, you're selling your program. You are a marketing person. You're not just a coach. You're not just football. That's why I always laugh when you get coaches that are like, oh, good, I want to go to that school because I can just focus on football. That's never really the case until you've established yourself as one of those programs and more recruits are just coming to you. You have to sell your program not only to recruits but constantly to the fans.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's part of the job, especially, at Alabama. Nick Saban probably doesn't have to sell Alabama football, but it's different here. You do have to. I mean, you're not going to get 40,000 people in the stands just because it's Saturday afternoon. That's part of it. And why wouldn't you? I mean, we've seen Nico Medved do that to success with the basketball program. It's your job, just look at, from your side, how weird would it be if you had a radio show, but you never told anyone you had a radio show?
Right. Right. I mean, exactly right. We're all kind of marketing, and it is kind of you can simplify it a little bit as far as how to get people excited about your program. Kevin, we talked a lot of football. I know we're going to hit more basketball this afternoon, but the Rams, hey, Utah State, that was a back and forth kind of battle there. Utah State, just when you think the Rams are going to pull away, Utah State kind of comes right back in. A lot of people watching it on CBS didn't get to see those final free throws either, so I know that's been a big deal on Twitter this afternoon.
Yeah, that's frustrating for fans. I kind of heard about that late in the game or after the game. But yeah, it's CSU did what they had to, man. It was a grinder, tough type of victory. State, that's what they do. They just make you work for everything. And I think they stayed in it due to free throws. They kept going to the foul line, so every time it looked like CSU might be able to pull away, Utah State would get a couple more free throws, and then they start hitting some big shots. Barstow had a great game. Bean didn't do a ton, but he did have one or two buckets late that really he won, that gave Utah State the brief lead there in the final 4 or 5 minutes. It was a real battle, but that's a good win for CSU. And you could also see the Rams looked a little bit more like themselves. It certainly wasn't a perfect performance. It certainly wasn't peak performance to where they were before the COVID shutdown, but looked a lot more like who that team really is. So that's a good sign, and now there's a chance for them to really start stacking some wins.
Kevin, what's the possibility? I mean, obviously win all your games, and you're more than likely going to be in that top 25. But do you see CSU cracking that top 25 again rather easily, or are things going to stars going to have to kind of align for them?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a little bit of time. They'll need... the Utah State win was nice, but they're going to need probably another kind of marquee-ish victory to do that. I'm trying to think of the schedule. San Jose State this weekend doesn't move the needle. New Mexico and Air Force next week. Obviously you have to win all these games. So we're, let's just make that an assumption, because to talk top 25, you have to be winning those. Really, it may not be until they go to Wyoming that they can get a win that would really catch a lot of attention. But if they keep winning games, I think people, I think most people already understand that, they got beat by San Diego State, and San Diego State deserved to win. But, one game after a COVID shutdown isn't a big negative. So I think they'll be able to at least have the opportunity to work back, but it'll probably take a couple weeks. And obviously some of that depends on other results that are completely out of their hands of top 25 teams losing.
Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, great work from you as always, my friend. We'll see you in the station later on today for our 5 o'clock Hoops tip-off show. So I'm looking forward to that, my friend.
Yeah, excited to be back at it and talking real live game action. We've had like 2 straight weeks of it now.
Yeah, you can't beat it, man. Yeah, it's nice to get back into the flow. And we'll talk a little CSU, Utah State. Also preview San Jose State. Maybe the Rams can go on a little winning streak here and get back, maybe crack that top 25. Kevin, we'll catch up with you soon, okay?
Yep, thanks for having me. See you in a bit.
All right, 12:51 the time. We'll wrap up this hour on the other side. I do want to talk about we got NFL playoffs to get to. Mark Knutson, well, he had a great sit-down with the Mountain West, with Craig Thompson, Mountain West commissioner, about the playoff expansion and how, is it going to happen, and why are we not making the expansion happen? We'll get into all that in the second hour. Don't miss it. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.